Scott joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, sir.
Hey, Scotty.
What's going on, guys?
Way too much stuff for a team that was supposed to be a little bit better than it's playing right now. How about that? Let's start with this. Can I throw this one at you?
Sure.
I'm so impressed with what they do at the start of the game offensively. Three of their six touchdowns offensively have come on the first possession, which means the Browns have gone good chunks of four games and put up only three touchdowns after their first touch. The heck's that all about?
Yeah, that's pretty pretty startling numbers there.
It sure is.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Stefanski is one of the best at scripting those plays, and the guys practice them, and they know what they're going to do, and they work, and then things change, the defense adjusts. I think you need your quarterback to make plays after that. I think, you know, they bring blitzes, so your line's got to figure out the blitzes. You know, your receivers have to adjust to the coverage, and I think that's probably at the heart of it. And then, you know, there's plays to be made that they're not making. And that's up and down the roster. I mean, obviously the Amari Cooper interception off his chest. Deshaun Watson played fine, but I also studied guys open that he either didn't throw to or that he missed. They get the big play called back by a penalty. They thought they had a touchdown at the end of the first half or would have had a touchdown, and DeJuan Jones blocks the wrong guy, leaves the guy coming off the edge free. Watson has to hurry, and he misses. Amari Cooper is running down the right side wide open. And Watson goes, we all knew it was a touchdown. And they've been trying to beat the blitz because they've struggled to block it. But they know that if they can pick it up, big plays are there. And that's what they spent the week doing. And they get their opportunity, and DeJuan Jones just misses his assignment, and it costs him a touchdown. And when you lose games by 4 points and 5 points or 6 points last week, one play makes a huge difference, and we're just seeing that from a whole bunch of players. And I feel like, to get back to your point, Jeff, is in the scripted plays, you can remove a lot of those variables, as many as you can. And once the game gets going, it's harder for Kevin Stefanski to remove those variables.
Is it possible, because I heard this yesterday, that they are a talented, team? No, they have a talented roster, but they're a bad football team.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true.
Yeah.
And I think the expectations make this more difficult, and especially for the fans. I think expectations in anything, right? You think you're going to go shoot 75 on the golf course, you'd shoot 85, and you're upset, when if you thought you're going to shoot 90, you'd be happy. And if you're going to a season thinking, hey, this team is coming off a playoff season, they've got everybody back, they made some additions, blah, 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 I think as a fan, it was fair to expect the Browns to be much better than they have been. The softest part of their schedule was the early part of the schedule, and they haven't taken advantage at all. So I think that makes it more difficult for fans. I think it makes it more difficult for ownership because they have high expectations. And then to watch this, it's probably the same in the locker room. Those guys think they're really good. They think they have a defense capable of being the best in the league, and it's not playing like it. Deshaun Watson keeps, you know, he's said before he still thinks he's elite. Well, he's not playing elite. I'm sure Amari Cooper expects to catch balls, and he's not. Right, so all those things make this 1-3 start, I think, that much harder for everyone to deal with.
Scott Patrick joining us, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work, great coverage of the Browns. I've talked about for some time, I just don't think there's enough skill position talent to be impactful, Scott, especially with Nick Chubb and David Njoku out right now. That said, what can they do about that? Because I think it's tough to judge the offense right now based on the Njoku and Chubb being out, although you can't count on Nick because, you know, that's a serious knee injury. And with all the issues on the offensive line, I'd love to say it's all on fill in the blank or this is the problem or that it's all offensive line. I just think that makes it such a gray area that it's tough to get a gauge on exactly what needs fixed, or am I missing the boat on that?
No, I think that's fair, and I also think it makes it difficult to evaluate Deshaun Watson properly because I think there's flaws there, and I think we see those flaws on a weekly basis. We also see him not getting any help, and whether that's protection, whether it's Amari Cooper, whether it's whatever, a holding penalty calls back a touchdown. I think it makes it hard to evaluate him and everything going on. But your point about the skill position guys, I think you're right to a degree, Jeff. And, you know, I think Jerome Ford is a fine player. He's not Nick Chubb. I don't know if he scares anybody. I think he plays really hard. I think he's been a spark in the second half the last 2 weeks.
And certainly but, competent, Scott.
Yeah, right. But it feels like there's a ceiling to him. We haven't seen Elijah Moore do much at all. We haven't seen Cedric Tillman do anything except drop a fourth down pass against the Giants.
Yeah.
So I get your point. I also, and I don't want to make everything about Deshaun Watson, but I also think you have a quarterback who's supposed to make all these other guys better. And that's why you're paying him a bunch of money. That's why you went and got him. And he's not able to do that. And it's not all his fault. But I think when we focus on the third and fourth receiver not being good enough, I think part of that is a quarterback discussion.
I'd agree. Yep. I'd
How much of it is a coaching discussion?
I don't think it is. And
I mean, because I'm hearing, you know, Andy Dickerson getting ripped left and right. Oh. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't coach offensive linemen, and I don't see Andy out there trying to make a block. And is this a, you know.
And they had one guy out there at the end of the game who was supposed to be a starter, Joel Bitonio.
And is there a, you know, is there a psychological thing going on here with the transition of offensive line coaches? I don't know enough on the outside to make that decision to start sitting here and rip an offensive line coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's competent and capable. Is there a drop-off from Bill Callahan? I would say sure. And I think there would be for a high percentage of teams in this league if he lost Bill Callahan. And I think that did show up when the Browns were struggling to pick up blitzes. I think there's a correlation there because Bill Callahan was so involved in that aspect of the game planning. And he was so detail-oriented that his guys were good at that. But you also have injuries you're dealing with up front. You have age. Guys getting older up front. So I think all that's a factor. I don't think, you know, I don't think blaming Andy Dickerson. I don't think he's the guy responsible for a 1-3 start. You know, you look at, and I think Jim Schwartz is a really good defensive coordinator. His guys, and it's hard. It's you know, kind of similar to the Deshaun Watson discussion. But, like, the defense hasn't been awful. And it gave him, you know, scored a touchdown yesterday, and it gave him a chance by getting stops in the second half. It also hasn't been great, and they don't have an interception yet, and they're not forcing enough turnovers, you know, even though they had the fumble yesterday for the touchdown. And they're giving up 2 or 3 touchdowns a game, which with this offense can seem insurmountable when you give up those and you give them up early. So, you know, I don't think necessarily it's Jim Schwartz's fault, but guys miss tackles. It's his unit, right? So I do think there's plenty of blame to go around, and I think it covers the coaches. I think it covers the roster. You know, and I don't, but I don't think like Kevin Stefanski's play calling. I know a lot of people like to pick on that. I don't think that's the problem. I really don't, from an offensive standpoint. I think there's all kinds of other issues going on. I don't think the play calling is a problem.
Scott Petrak's joining us from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. The way this team has played so far on offense is it's challenging at the very least. Is Watson capable of being what he was, Scott, or has that ship sailed?
I would never just rule it out, but it feels to me that ship has sailed. I don't know what, if I had to recast his ceiling, it feels more like 12th in the league than top five, which in 2020, I thought he was a top five quarterback in the league. I think that's what the Browns thought they were getting when they traded for him. I don't know what's changed, you know, mentally, physically. I don't have those answers. I can speculate on a bunch of stuff. We all know what has gone on with him over the last 3 or 4 years. But he doesn't seem to be the same guy to me. He doesn't seem comfortable in the pocket. And, you know, I'm sure part of that is when you get the snot kicked out of you, you're looking to get away. But he's looking to get away. And that's not a great way to play quarterback. It really affects the offensive line. We see that hold on Nick Harris. And the reason it's a hold, and we can argue whether or not it's the right call, is because when Watson scrambles so much and the defensive linemen go to get him, it puts the offensive lineman in a terrible spot because it looks like they're hanging onto the jersey when the guy pulls away. And that's why we see more penalties on the Browns, because Watson is always trying to get out of the pocket. Now, some of the times he has to. Some of it he doesn't. we saw a bunch of checkdowns yesterday. And I think part of that is get the ball out of my hand because you don't want to take the sacks. You don't want to take the hits. And sure, those completions are good, but it felt like too much to me that he was just trying to get it out of his hand without looking downfield to make a play. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of plays leading up to it. But on the last play of the game, the last meaningful play of the game, he's got, it looked to me, Jordan Akins running open in the left corner. And I asked Akins, and he said the defensive back is kind of looking toward the sideline, and he got a free release. And Watson had time to get it there. And I don't know if it was his first read or not. So, I'm not putting all the blame on Watson. But there's a chance to make a play to win the game. And that's what you pay a quarterback for. That's what the elite quarterbacks do. To have a bad game for 58 minutes, you make a couple plays at the end. And he was in position to make a play, and he didn't do it, and he double-clutched, and then he takes a sack. And you need him to be better. When other things aren't working, you need your quarterback to be better and raise everyone. And he just isn't that good right now, or isn't good enough to do that on a consistent basis, which makes me think he probably will never get to that level again.
Scott, when they brought in Ken Dorsey to replace Alex Van Pelt, and what we're seeing right now, and I talked last week, I mentioned already today, about how they're not running the ball, even though they do it a little bit more effectively than they do passing the ball, because they're passing a lot and not doing it very well. Yeah. Are they trying to force feed an offense that they think Deshaun Watson will thrive in at the expense of abandoning what they might do better and be more successful as an overall offense?
Yeah, I think you could say yes to that. I think there's factors involved that if you really believe in that this offense is the best for Deshaun Watson, then you have to give it a chance, and you can't give up after 4 weeks.
That makes perfect sense.
Right, yeah. You have to stick with it, and you hope that things click. The other part of that is I don't think the way they're built right now that they're an elite running team. I know they're probably running it a little better than they're throwing it, but we talked about Jerome Ford. Dante Foreman, you know, when they go with that jumbo, it worked a little bit in Jacksonville, but not much, and it didn't work, I felt like, at all yesterday when they tried to go, like, three tight ends and Dante Foreman. They're just not moving the line like they used to. I don't think he, you know, Kareem Hunt would put his head down and get four or five. It doesn't seem like Foreman's doing that. So I think there's issues in the run game as well that if you're the coaches, you go, well, it's not like that's working like gangbusters. So let's stick to what we think is the right thing to do for Watson and for this offense long term. Now, it has to work eventually, and to this point it hasn't, but I think that's their thinking.
Scott, the trade deadline is, what, 5 weeks away? It's November 5th. At what point do you decide maybe I will trade guys? And could Amari Cooper be there?
Yeah. I think we're premature there. Bad's probably a little strong, but is as many struggles as Amari Cooper's had this year, I mean, he's clearly their number one receiver. And unless you're going fire sale, you know, you can't trade him right now, right? That's just giving up on the season. So maybe 5 weeks from now, you know, it's a different story and they know they're not going to playoffs, and then you trade him and try to get anything for him. But if you win a couple, then maybe you go out and try to find, you know, an addition to that receiver room. Or if your offensive line is still beat up, you find an offensive lineman, right? If you figure out some way to win a few games between now and then. But, you know Andrew Berry, he likes to trade. And I think right now it could go either way. But, yeah, I wouldn't be stunned if things continue in this direction if you see some guys dealt. And maybe it's Jed Wills. You know, he's in the last year of his contract. Teams need tackles. If he's healthy by then, and if you're Andrew Berry and you decide you're not going to sign him to an extension, then I bet you could get something for Jed Wills out there.
Scott Petrak's joining us, Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. The AFC North is starting to look like a division where you better get your act together quickly, or Pittsburgh, maybe even, but Baltimore certainly looks like it is a team that could pull away here, Scott.
Isn't it crazy how things change in a week or two? You know, I mean, Baltimore lost at home in the fourth quarter of the Raiders 2 weeks ago, and it looked like the division was, you know, you had
wide open
and nobody really believed in them. And, you know, now it's, oh, man, you could get two teams in the playoffs, and the Bengals look good. You know, I mean, I know it's the Panthers, but they still got to win, and they're scoring some points. So it's a crazy league. Baltimore, I thought, would take a step back, and maybe their step back was the first couple of weeks, and now they're back to form. I didn't believe Derrick Henry still had much in the tank, and I could be totally wrong. And if I'm totally wrong, then they're going to be in the thing to the end. So, yeah, you're going to have to win some games. Now, you know, 10 wins, with 10 wins, win the division, who knows. But that was an impressive win. I didn't see much of it, but just seeing the score and what Derrick Henry did against that Buffalo team, that's pretty impressive. And it looks like, especially given Cincinnati struggles, that Baltimore is the class of this division still.
Mm. Explain the Nick Chubb story to everybody, and where are we with this? And yep. You know, probably Wednesday makes more sense to pull him off the IR because it extends out that 21 days. So tell me, where are we with Nick Chubb?
Yeah, he's on the pup list. So, you know, and the terminology is funky. So I don't think they actually activate him from the pup list, but you open this 21-day window. And I would expect them to do – I've been told they expect to do it Wednesday. And then he can begin practicing. So you get 21 days for him to practice, and then you decide to activate him to the 53-man roster or keep him on pup for the rest of the year, and then he can't play anymore. So, you know, if they're going to do it, they don't have to do it right now. They can do it this week, and they're expected to do it this week. But if he wasn't ready, they could push it down the road. So it's a really good sign. I think it'll take a while before he gets back to a game. I don't think it'll be Sunday. You know, a guy hasn't practiced in more than a year. But it's encouraging. I'm looking forward to seeing him on the field. I've seen him run. I've seen him cut. But I haven't seen him do football things. And, you know, for a team looking for anything they can get, I think just him being on the field will be some kind of energy boost for this team.
Scott, as great as he is, and I think he's one of the best running backs I've ever seen, and I'm just so apprehensive to put a guy back on the field this quickly after a second devastating injury. And I that's strictly in my head. The medical people won't let him play unless he's okay to go. But, man, it just seems like a stretch to me.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Jeff. You know, I think to me it's, is he ever going to be the same player? And
yeah,
we're not going to know that. But I don't know if, you know, another 6 weeks or 6 months, I don't know if that changes that. I think if the medical people say you're fine and you can run and cut and do those things, and, you know, Nick Chubb knows how his knee feels, I think you have to try it. That doesn't mean it's going to be successful. You know, we've seen, and, you know, this is going to sound negative, but we've seen guys try to come back from major injuries. I'm having a flashback to Gary Baxter. If you guys remember, blew up both his patellars.
Yeah.
And then it was like a story forever, and he kept trying to come back. He just can't do it. But there gets to a point where you have to try on the field. And I don't think Nick is in the same spot because he's on schedule. It always felt like October to me when he'd come back, and that looks like that's when it's going to be, barring a setback. So I think it's positive that he is, but I get your point, Jeff. And I think there's certainly still questions about Nick and his recovery and how he'll look when he's actually playing.
Go to brownzone.com. You can read all of Scott's work, his story on the game yesterday. Outstanding. Scott, thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
How about the crowd yesterday? I got to tell you, I was impressed listening on TV and looking when they went into the crowd. There were tons of Browns fans there yesterday. Bravo to you if you were at the game yesterday. Bravo.
You know, that's the one thing about Vegas that I think is an interesting thing for the NFL. It's such a it's a smaller market, and obviously it's so based on tourism that I don't know what kind of a home field advantage the Raiders will ever have there.
Well, we talked about that yesterday.
It'll be balanced, you know?
Lincoln Kennedy and I talked about that yesterday on the pregame show.
Oh,
and
that's a ding.
He just said if they start winning, it's easy. It's all Raiders. He goes, you can tell, beginning of the season, it feels like it's all Raiders fans, and then when they're winning, the Raiders fans come out, but the second the Raiders aren't playing well, boom, it turns all the
really?
Time. And by the way, our place does that now too. I wish that wasn't true, but I can't tell you how many times at the end of the game where you notice the abundance of fans of other teams at the end of the game cheering their team on, especially when they go through the tunnel at the end of the game.
Hmm. The Browns defense has had a few issues so far, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to statistically, they're 12th in yardage allowed. Does that mean anything to you?
No,
they're about middle of the pack in points allowed.
It sounds about right.
Okay, they're middle of the pack in points allowed. They're giving up 21.8 per game. I think this team, the thought process going in, both inside the team and out, was that this defense would be a dominant type of defense. And unfortunately, I think it's become real clear that for this team to be what it wants to be this year, it has to become a dominant type of defense. Do you agree with that?
Oh, they're going to need to force more turnovers. That's the first thing. The scoop and score yesterday was awesome, but you've got to execute it by making the extra point. The last three games have all been within a touchdown. So it comes down to a play here or a play there. That's how fragile this league is. They could be 3-1 right now. One drive here, one drive there, and you're 3-1. But they didn't do it, and they haven't been able to accomplish it the last 2 weeks in the fourth quarter. They have to play a four-quarter game. They have failed to do that in four games. And I don't know if you want to say this team's at the quarter pole now. It's really in a 17-game season. I don't know what, is it next week then? Is that really the quarter pole? So Wednesday is the quarter pole, right? So you don't play on Wednesday. They've got to figure it out. I do find it maybe strategically to their advantage with a 1-3 start that they haven't played an AFC North game yet. So maybe they can use that to their advantage. But as of right now, I don't have a whole lot of faith against them up against the AFC North.
Josh is in Grand River. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I know letting Bill Callahan go felt like the right thing
to
do.
They didn't. They did let him out of a contract. Okay, you're right.
Letting him out of his contract and letting him go, we're seeing the effects of that. He held the offense and the defense, and he was right next to Kevin Stefanski in his office in Berea, where he held the players accountable. There is nobody holding any of our players accountable for what they're doing.
Kevin Josh, you don't know that. Neither do I.
I know I don't know that. I'm feeling the frustration of the fact that every time Kevin gets up and speaks, it sounds like a boardroom meeting in an office versus firing his players up.
That's the kind of coach he's been since he's been here, Josh. And there have been successes and there have been failures. So, I mean, the guy is what he is. He's also the 2-time coach of the year. I don't think coaching is the big issue with this team.
Let me back up a little bit of what you said. If you listen to the podcast at all, you kind of can hear Daryl talk about it too, that Callahan definitely held that offensive line accountable. It was a much stricter, more rigorous regimen for the offensive line. I'm not saying it was better or worse, but right now it looks like it was a lot better with Bill Callahan because maybe perhaps he was a little bit tougher.
I agree with you on that. It's the fact also too is I've been really, really crucial on the fact that our tackles weren't ready. Andrew Berry didn't go and get anybody to replace them. Also, with seeing Derrick Henry's performance last night makes it really mad and really frustrating that he was on the table knowing we were going to have no run game, that we should have gone out and trying to get at least see what we could have done with him and made him an offer.
All right, Josh, you weren't going to get Derrick Henry here.
Money.
If you thought Nick Chubb was coming back in any way, shape, or form, Derrick Henry's not coming here.
I don't know.
I'd love to say yes. I think he's phenomenal.
I would think hopefully they made a phone call, don't you? It's a phone call.
If I'm Derrick Henry's agent, there's no way I'm letting him come to Cleveland if I think Nick Chubb's going to play at any point during the year.
I don't know. Money talks. But you're right. I just don't know.
And he got it in Baltimore.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So there. Brett is in Chesterland, Ohio.
Hey, hello, Brett.
Hey, guys. Morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, a couple things. Let's face it. Bad teams find ways to lose. I mean, you cannot take a roughing the quarterback play that extends a drive. You can't have offensive breakdowns. You can't let a team defensive line gash through you like me and you were playing defensive line. You can't miss an extra point. But the one thing I got to say is Scott brought up a point about this offense, it's going to take time. That's what the preseason's for.
To some extent, Brett.
I agree with that.
I mean, teams don't play starters in the preseason extensive time, even if they play starters in the preseason. So there's that. Deshaun, I thought, played well enough to win a game from a quarterback standpoint. He was 24 of 32. Only thing, they're not pushing the ball downfield a whole lot, 176 yards passing. Obviously, if, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda. If the holding penalty doesn't happen, you get an 82-yard touchdown, and that puts you over 250 yards passing. But, you know, that's the way that goes. One touchdown, one interception, sacked only three times yesterday, Andy. So better for him. I think he probably got the ball, rid of the ball a little bit more quickly.
I think it's interesting that he says put this one all on him. I mean, this is probably one of the few not one of the few times, but I didn't walk out of that game yesterday thinking it was all on him.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't think it was on him.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he said that yesterday. I didn't think it was on him. I agree with you. Not all of it.
Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Daryl is in Solon, home of the Comets. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
I definitely need some therapy today. Couple things. Nick Chubb, I don't want to see him come back now. Not behind this offensive line. I think it would be brutal to see Nick Chubb struggle after, you know, what we're used to seeing together first. Secondly, I agree what you just said about Watson. People want to blame him and still blame the money he's getting paid. I thought he did fine. He did what he could do. If someone was running open down the middle of the field, he probably was trying to get open from being chased by the defensive end. And I don't know if it was you, but like you guys touched earlier, the coach can call a great first drive, and then he acts like he just rips that page out of the folder and throws it in the garbage. What is it? He can't use any of those plays anymore?
Daryl, I don't understand it. They've scored six touchdowns this year, and three of them have come on the first time they've touched the ball in a game on their first drive. Now, one of the drives lasted one play against the Giants, but I do not get it.
It's like he wants to I'm the smartest guy in the room, so they're going to be ready for these plays that work. So let's not run them anymore. It just blows my mind, guys. And thanks for letting me vent. And one other thing. And I think you guys touched on it before. Deshaun Watson is playing like how Deshaun Watson played.
Yeah, it's true.
He holds the ball. He tries to run around and get guys open or run. Just because you give a guy a new contract doesn't mean he's going to change the way what he used to do. And blaming him because he gets all that money, he didn't ask for this contract. It was awarded to him. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Daryl.
You had me till the very end there.
He did ask for the contract.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I have no problem with him asking for that. I ask for contracts like that all the time. That was your.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
The word no normally comes into play. I'm used to it. It's the story of my life. I was thinking about changing my middle name to No, Andy No Baskin. Be easier.
It's not a bad way to go.
Then people think you're just talking to you then.
Sure. Zach is in Cleveland. Hello, Zach.
Zach.
Guys, I'm a lot more calm this Monday than I was last Monday when I called you screaming into the radio.
It's okay, man. We're here for you. Zach, we're here for
why
you.
Why are you calm today as opposed to last week?
Well, for one, because I went golfing yesterday. Even if they were playing at one, I was going golfing yesterday.
Oh, so you didn't watch the game yesterday, that's what you're trying to say? Or you missed the beginning?
No, I watched. No. Oh, no. I made sure to even be done at, you know, just before the 1 o'clock games. But, you know, I'm just not going to let these guys ruin my Sundays anymore. Just not going to let it. Not going to let it get in the way. If it's on, it's on the background. Awesome. If I catch a play or something happens, great. But I'm not going to tune in anymore. It's tiring, man. It's the same thing every week.
Yeah, your best bet is just to leave it locked on 92.3 The Fan, and you'll be good. That's the best therapy I can give you.
I'm always trying to listen to you guys, especially, you know, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, you two are the longest standing show on the.
We are. We are. Yes. We're hoping for statues. Right. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's either that or we're going to turn
guys,
to sand.
It just looks rough, man. I know that, you know, we're having offensive line issues. I know that we're down to second and third stringers. I understand that. And I don't feel a lot of anger today, probably because on top of the golf thing, I don't put a lot of blame on Deshaun. He had no time to throw. He didn't have a lot of time to throw last week, but he also missed a lot of wide open guys. I didn't see a lot of that yesterday from the parts that I did catch of the game. I'm just, it's sour anymore, man. I just, I don't even, I want it to be sweet. I don't want the candy to be sour anymore. I'm done. I'm done with the sour. Hopefully, you know, with these guys coming back, at least it, you know, some of the faces we know, you know, Njoku and Chubb coming back will brighten everybody.
There you go.
I know it's still so early on in the season. I get it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But right now, if we were to look at it like in golf terms, we're one in three, right? So we're three strokes behind being on par for being, you know, where we should be. So
all right,
there you go.
Looking at it, guys, you know, we're,
see everybody.
We're, it's looking rough.
Bring good it job. Back to golf.
There you go.
Way
yes.
to go, Zach.
In with a good. Out with
had
the
to
bad.
Be soggy on the golf course for Zach yesterday.
Depends where you're playing.
Probably no carts. Tony's buzzing around in his car today. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
My take on the whole situation is they don't have the talent they once had, and I think they still do.
On the offensive line or all around?
All around. I mean, I'm not a Watson fan, but yesterday he played pretty good. I thought he actually played real good. But you can't throw the ball when you're getting crushed by three guys. You know, you want to run around and try to make something happen, and then you're causing penalties because it looks like a lot of guys are confused out there. And I think the talent that they had, they wasted it.
All righty. Well, thank you. Appreciate
Tony.
It.
Thank you.
Glad you guys.
All right,
that's okay.
Tony.
Nothing wrong with that.
Appreciate that. Where's the talent missing? Couple of injured offensive linemen.
Tight end. Although you
tight
had a
end,
guy that never caught a ball in the NFL
back.
Score a touchdown yesterday.
No relation to Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Just the opposite. In fact. Thank you. Anthony is in Stowe. Anthony, welcome, bud. How are you?
Guys, how are you?
Hey, great. Man. How are you?
I'm calling you today with what I have to say because I've been consistent with this for the past 3 years.
Ah.
Okay?
Yes.
We've had a very good punching bag for the last 3 years to hide the real problems on this football team. Everybody's hatred of Deshaun Watson, over the last 3 years, okay, has made it very easy to overlook the real problems. We have a crap football team. All I've heard for 2 years is what an amazing defense we have. Our defense is horrible. And it's had its moments of looking good, but great defenses are consistent. We do not have a consistent defense. We don't have a number one wide receiver. I said this last year. Amari Cooper drops too many passes to be number one wide receiver. He doesn't have the speed to break away from people. And you can be a great possession wide receiver without speed if you catch the damn ball. And if you're not catching the ball and you have no speed, you're a crap wide receiver. We have no offensive line. We go into this season with a healthy Deshaun Watson. We don't have our best running back. The front office does absolutely nothing to address that. We go into the season with Ford as our number one running back. And by the way, guys, we're praying and hoping that that Nick Chubb is half of what he used to be, which there's no guarantee there that he's going to be anywhere near as good as he used to be coming off of that surgery.
Valid point.
We have nothing on this team, and we've overlooked every problem we've ever had because of the horrible contract we gave Deshaun Watson. Let's blame it all on him. Let's talk about Baker stats. Let's talk about Flacco stats. How about we talk about that we have a crap football team? And yesterday, when you saw signs of what a really good quarterback we might have, he's got garbage around him. Garbage.
Mm. Anthony, garbage. I think that's a little harsh, but I get your point.
No, he's
Anthony?
Got garbage. I'm going to make one more point. Can I make one more point?
Yeah, one more point, and then I've got to ask you a quick question. Go ahead. Yep. Keep on.
Yeah, I love Myles Garrett. Absolutely love him. If we could get a number one pick for him at the trade deadline, I would seriously consider doing it. We're not going anywhere with this team. He's the biggest asset we have. We have to recoup some of what we lost and try to get some talent on this team. He can be the defensive player of the year. But if he's on a piss-poor defense, that's maybe we're going to win 6-7 games this year, and we can get a number one pick for him, I would seriously consider doing it. And if we could get a sixth-round pick for that bum Amari Cooper, I'd drop his ass immediately. He's horrible.
All right, Anthony,
were you at the 64 game? Oh, yeah.
Anthony's
He
younger.
Was all over my bingo card, man. Flacco, Baker, DeSean Jackson. All of those things were on my bingo card.
Amari Cooper is anything but a horrible wide receiver. He's also not Jamar Chase. He's not CeeDee Lamb. And because he was the number one guy and is the number one guy in this team doesn't mean that he's that caliber of a guy. And again, I think Amari is a very good wide receiver. But he's not Justin Jefferson. He's not a game-breaker wide receiver. And I think he would work best if he were in a position where there was another guy of comparable talent or better than he is. We don't have that situation here. And I think maybe it's an unfair spotlight that's put on Amari because of that. I mean, I think he's good. The Browns told you, I think, what you need to know about Amari by not signing him to a contract extension. Petrak brought up something about that after Andy asked him a question. We're going to get into that next because the trade deadline's not that far away.